when God recreated the earth and he regenerated it and gave it a facelift, and he created man out of the dust of the earth and he breathed into Adam the breath of life. He took life from within himself. Part of God entered into a physical being that was created out of the dust, the atoms of this earth. And at that moment, Adam was literally God's son. And he had unadulterated, pure fellowship and intimacy with God in every way. And God created the woman out of Adam's rib. He took him from her, took her from his side. And she enjoyed that same type of fellowship with God. That same pure and clear relationship with God where they could communicate on a face-to-face level. And when Adam and Eve walked on this earth, God gave them dominion. He gave them all the trees except for one tree. He gave them everything they needed for life and godliness. He gave them everything that they needed to stay pure, to protect the planet that he made them the rulers over, and told them to replenish the earth, to work the ground, to enjoy all of his wonderful creation and all of the things that he blessed us with. And even with all this love that God presented to them, even though he only gave them one specific rule, or one specific commandment, we should say, instead of using that dominion and using that authority that God gave them to protect the garden and kick the serpent out, they decided to listen to his word and allow the devil to confuse them to the point, to such a degree that sin entered into their hearts. God had already warned them that the day that you eat from the tree, you shall die. So the moment that sin entered into Eve's heart, Adam's heart, the wife gave to the husband, they died spiritually. Separated from God's life that he'd breathed into Adam, it distorted that. He was separate from God. He no longer had fellowship with God. He no longer had the intimate relationship with God that was so wonderful. But Jesus came to get that back for us. Amen. You know, and because this, you know, Adam had the law of the Spirit of life working in him. It was God's law written on his heart. He didn't need 10 commandments to explain to him right from wrong. He had the moral part of God was imparted into him when God breathed in him. He knew only to do right. But he chose to go up against God's will. And now a new law had entered in, not only to Adam and Eve, but also into the universe, which is a law of sin and death, according to Romans 8, verse 2. And this law is so powerful that it's literally, if you just look at creation, even in the universe, things are deteriorating. Humanity began to become more and more sinful, and he let them go their own way according to Acts 17:30. It says in the past, God let men go their own way. He overlooked such ignorance. And what happened is humanity continued to degrade and to destroy themselves, and sin became more and more prevalent in the earth, up to the point that even though there was approximately 4 billion people on the face of the earth by the time of Noah's flood, billions and billions of people, there were only 8 people left. You need to ask yourself, do I realize how close that we were for every single person to be lost eternally forever? There were eight people that got on the ark that were righteous. And because of that faith, it says in Hebrews chapter 11, God was able to condemn the rest of the world because he had someone whose heart was towards him enough that he knew that they would follow his laws and follow his decrees and stay under the blood sacrifice. That's why there were 7 of the clean beasts on the ark. And because he had someone, he was able to continue covenant with humanity. And you say, well, God said in the garden that he would send his seed into the earth. And that the serpent would strike his heel, but he would crush his head. So God said it had to come to pass. No, it didn't. If you study prophecy throughout the Bible, it was a covenant that he made with Adam and Eve. That means it takes 2 parties. A covenant with humanity. He promised that he would do this thing, but that was contingent upon someone staying in covenant with him. If everybody would have decided to follow Satan, to follow sin, everybody would have been eternally lost. And if you don't believe me, just read through the prophets one time and see how many times God changed his mind. Has anybody ever read the Old Testament and see that God prophesied a lot of things and then he changed his mind? But the reason he changed his mind, he's not that type of God, but what happens is when a lot of prophecies are conditional based upon what we do a lot of times. You know, when I prophesy over you in the prayer lines and so on and so forth, a lot of those, that's conditional. That's based upon if you do what's right for that to come to pass. And it's the same thing here. This is a fragile salvation. I mean, we are so privileged to be saved. It's an amazing thing. If he wouldn't have had anybody to follow him, he would have had, at that point, at the flood, he would have had to destroy all humanity, everyone, and everyone would have been lost. Amen. We're blessed. Amen. We're blessed not only to have the privilege to live life, to be able to be alive, and to walk on the face of this earth and be able to enjoy things. I know circumstances sometimes seem negative, but we need to get our eyes off of our problems and get our eyes onto the what really is good happening in our lives. Amen. You know, I encourage everybody to do this. When you go home, take a pen and write down all the things you're thankful for and look at that every single day. If you got enough problems, I mean, if you have the ability in your land or they'll let you, paint it on the wall, all the things you're thankful for. And every time the devil beats you up for a whole week, just look at that and praise God revolving around those things. We have a lot to be thankful for. Amen. You got a family. You may have children. You may have grandchildren. You may have friends that love you or family that loves you. A roof over your head is something to be thankful for. Not everybody has these things. You don't have to wonder where your next meal's coming from, most likely. I mean, most of us, we've got it very good. We don't have to wonder if next week we're going to be starving. We got enough financial means or support to be able to eat, to drink. You know? You got taste buds to taste. You got eyes to look at all the beautiful things that God created. Sometimes, you know, if you're going through a lot of things, you just open up the internet and start looking at pictures of God's creation. It'll calm you down. That's why God placed Adam and Eve in a garden. It's a nice, tranquil place to be. And the reason a lot of people, you know, some of you may be able to relate to this, but a reason a lot of us turn to alcohol or drugs or something, cigarettes even. It's a cigarette. The reason people smoke is a sedative. They say it has a more powerful effect on that area of pleasure in the brain than heroin does. Nicotine has. That's why people smoke. That's why it's so hard to break that habit. It's addictive, and not only that, but every time you feel stressed, you go smoke that cigarette and it pushes that back down. But it's really just covering up an emotional problem. That's why it's not good to do it. But the reason people do these things is because we, you know, not only has that law of sin and death been released into the earth, and there's a curse on this current earth. Now we know as Christians we're redeemed from the curse, but we're still affected to it to one degree or another. And because of that, it's a stressful place, especially in this last generation where everything is moving so fast. And there's demands placed upon us where it just seems as if there's not even enough time in the day to do everything that we need to get done. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Amen. And because of that, if we don't know any better, we just can't figure out what else to do. Some people turn to alcohol. I've known people who've been severe alcoholics or binge drinkers. Or they turn to drugs, smoking. Some people turn to other pleasures like sexual perversions and lust. Something to just give them a moment of relief. Just to make it through the day. I can relate to that. How am I going to make it through the day thing? But we're going somewhere with this. I'm just trying to follow what the Holy Spirit's doing here. And what God has provided for us is a way that we can have that peace. We can have that relief from the pressures and the stress of this generation that moves so fast. And it's in His presence. It's in His presence. He says in John 4:24 that them that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. The Bible says to be sober-minded. He wants us to be sober-minded. It also says do not get drunk on wine. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourselves with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with gratitude, or sing and make music in your hearts to the Lord. Always giving thanks to God the Father for everything. That's everything according to His will, obviously, according to verse 17 of Ephesians 5. Always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus. Should I give Him thanks for the car wreck that I had? No. He says in Ephesians 5:17, He says, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Amen. He says, and find out what pleases the Lord. So He's telling you the things that are according to His will. Give thanks for healing. Give thanks for health. Give thanks for salvation. Give thanks for all the blessings that He gives you. Provision, protection, peace, love, joy. Give thanks for all the wonderful things that He's provided you. So He takes away Satan's counterfeit, which is the alcohol, or you could put drugs in there, anything that stops you from being 100% sober-minded. He takes that away and He says, look, you don't have to do that anymore. He says, you know, in another scripture He says, you used to live this way in the life that you once lived. He's given us newness of life. Amen. And He says, look, you don't have to do the drugs or the alcohol. You don't have to do any of those things that sedate you. Amen. He says, you don't have to do this anymore. Because I've provided the real for you. Because all of that is just a counterfeit operation of Satan. But there's a better way. And he says this. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery or sin. He says, instead. And so he doesn't just say, don't do it. He says, instead, I've given you a replacement for it that's far superior to anything that you can come up with in the natural. And he says, instead, speaking to yourself, it says in the King James Version. Speaking to yourself with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord. In other words, private worship. Now, I've found this in my own personal life. I've found this to be something that at first was very difficult to do because of the flesh. And the devil, he contends with God for worship. He wants to be worshipped. Most of humanity is worshipping him ignorantly in everything they do. Like we've taught you before, our lifestyle can worship God, everything we do. Well, a lot of people's lifestyle worships the devil and they're ignorant of the fact. But what we can do is we can run to God in His presence. We can create an atmosphere of His presence. The Bible says that God enters the praises of Israel. Israel's His people. He enters the praises of His people. He says we're fellow citizens with God's people. Now we're God's people. So He enters our praises. He enters into our worship and His presence comes on the scene and it will strengthen and fortify our emotions against the flesh. It will strengthen and fortify our emotions against the stresses and the pressures and the things that are coming up against us. The whole reason that God created Adam, the whole reason that He created all of His posterity that were in His loins, the whole reason is by one man He made every nation of men that they may inhabit the whole earth. And He set for them times and dates and the places that they should live. And it says that God did this so that men would reach out for Him and find Him, though He's not far from every one of us. The King James Version says, reach out and happily they might find Him. In other words, they're searching for Him. It says He's in Him we live and move and have our being. We're right there in God. He's right here. You just need to reach out. But there's a specific way to reach out. You need to do it with your heart. In His presence, there's healing. In His presence, there's financial miracles. It says, you know, when Paul told this to the church in Macedonia, Philippi is a leading colony, leading Roman colony in Macedonia. He said, and my God shall supply all your needs according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus. But before that, he said, you're the only church of God on the matter. The only church when I left Macedonia, you're the only church that provided my needs. You're the only ones that got involved in the matter of giving and receiving. Giving and receiving. He's talking about the sowing and reaping that's involved when we give our tithes and offerings. But not only that, giving to the poor and it's all that. Amen. But he said this. He said, and my God, because you've done this thing, my God will respond. He says, my God shall supply all your needs according to His riches in glory. Riches in glory. That's His presence. His glory. You know, it says in the book of Revelation in your Bible, it says, we will no longer need, in the ages to come, we will no longer need the light of the sun or the light of a lamp, for the Lord God Almighty will give us light and the Lamb will be its lamp. It also says the glory of God will give us light in another place. God's glory is a light. God's glory is a provision. God's glory is a protection. He says over everything. In Isaiah chapter 4, at the end of Isaiah 4, it says, over everything the glory will be a canopy. It will be a shelter and shade from the heat of the day and a refuge and a hiding place from the storm and the rain. His glory. Everything we need can be found in His presence. Many prophecies have gone forth from this pulpit about everything you need is found in Him. He keeps trying to pull us into Him. He's telling us, look, and a lot of people, you know, sometimes people will think, let me give you a few examples. Holy Spirit, give me some examples of this now. Please help me with this, Lord. Let me just give you a few examples. I've seen people who get heavily involved in nowadays, especially physical fitness in particular, like cycling, bicycling. It becomes part of their life and they run to it and they talk about it and they love it and they like to do it. And they got all the gear and they get heavily involved into it. And they go on all the bike trails and they do all these things. They really enjoy this because it brings them great pleasure. And then you got another person who loves to cook. I mean, they love to cook. They love to come up with new specific recipes that they conjured up. They improvise. They change recipes. They do all this and it just brings them a satisfaction. And that's all fine and well, but I'm telling you right now, you don't have to wait to heaven to find out that it's in His presence that every single thing that you can come up with in the natural that seems to temporarily satisfy you and give you gratification, it's all found in His presence. Amen. I can let you know in advance, you don't have to wait till you get to heaven that when you find yourself, fall down before the feet of Jesus, when you fall down before the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and you finally get the revelation that everything that you ran after in this world in the natural, the smoking, the drinking, the alcohol, the cooking, the bicycling, the cell phone, the text messaging, the Facebook, all that stuff that seemed to bring you some kind of pleasure was right there before you, right before your eyes the whole time. It could have been found in Him. I don't have to let you get there to find that out. I can tell you right now that I found that thing. I'm an unusual pastor. I know a lot of pastors, they like to still watch football and stuff like that. That's between them and God. I know some pastors that I hear they like to golf and have a hobby. And they taught us at school, they said, have a hobby. It's good to have a hobby to keep you sane. But I'm telling you that some people's hobby is music and so on and so forth. I'm telling you that I've broke free. I've broke past that realm of flesh. And I've tapped into something through repetitive, never-ending hours of prayer and worship and fasting. I'm telling you that I have the revelation, and you don't have to wait to heaven to get it, that everything you long for, if you will trust me and press through into worship, you'll tap into that. And you'll find Pastor Dan's right. I don't need anything but Jesus. I don't need anyone but Jesus. And if He was the only person I had and everyone is against me, I am complete in Christ. Amen. You don't have to wait to heaven to find this out. I'm telling you today. And in order to get to that place, you're first going to have to fight the fight of faith. 1 Timothy 6:12. You're going to have to wrestle not against flesh and blood, Ephesians 6:12. You're going to have flaming arrows of the evil one come up against you, Ephesians 6:16. You're going to have to take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and you're going to have to lift up your voice and fight through all the realms of flesh. You know, in fact, that scripture that we quoted there, 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5, says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. Well, in particular, you're going to have to wrestle against your own flesh. He talks about that in Isaiah 58. He says to fast. He says, in so doing, you'll hide not yourself from your own flesh. Because what's going to happen is the devil's going to be attracted to you because he's contending with God for worship. He wants all of it for himself. He has quite a bit of it. People's lifestyles are worshiping him. Some Christians' lifestyles worship the devil. But we can fight past those realms of flesh as an action of faith. You can take a step of faith and say, you know what, I'm going to do this. What do I got to lose? You know, sometimes it takes people to get to the breaking point where they don't have anything to lose anymore that they'll actually do this. That's usually what it takes for someone to do this. Usually it's someone who will actually do what I'm telling you today. Usually the people who do this are people who are either suicidal and they've hit their breaking point, or they're drug addicts, or they're drunkards, or they're sex addicts, and they just have found nothing. They feel like their life is just over with if they don't grab a hold of something. And they'll just take a hold of this message and they'll say, what else do I got to lose? Nothing else works for me. A lot of crack. I know one minister, he was a crackhead. Somebody presented the truth to him and he grabbed a hold of it, and he's out there running around doing miracles and traveling the world preaching the gospel now. He was a full-blown crackhead. That's what he said he was. But God chose the foolish things of this world to shame the wise. He's chose the weak things of this world to shame the strong. He's chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one can boast before him. It's because of him that you're in Christ Jesus, who's become for us wisdom from God, that is our righteousness, our holiness, and our redemption. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. We can just look around. You know, Paul said, even though I am nothing, he said about himself. We don't have to look around and ask yourself, is there many who are wise or influential or noble in the room? Or even you can ask yourself online if you were really something before Christ found you. But that's so no one can boast before him. He takes us who are brokenhearted. He says, a broken and contrite heart I will not despise. It's not until you're completely broken and there's nothing left that he can even use you. That's why a lot of times the best Christians are those who are caught so far into the world, so far caught up into sin, so lost, so utterly hopelessly lost, that after they found Jesus, they actually go on and produce that crop, that hundredfold that he wants for them. A lot of times people that weren't so involved in sin, they don't make very good Christians. Why? Because their heart's not broken for Jesus. That's why he told in the Bible, he said, Jesus said about the woman, he came into the Pharisee's house and he ate, and he was surprised that he let this. He thought to himself, he said, if this man were a prophet, he would know what kind of woman this is that's touching him, that she's a sinner. And Jesus said, Simon, I have something to tell you. He said, I came into your house. He said, you didn't give me any water for my feet. He said, but this woman, from the time she came in, she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. He says, you did not give me a kiss, but from the time she came in, this woman has not stopped kissing my feet. He said, you did not pour oil over my head or anoint my head with oil. He said, but this woman has poured perfume on my feet. Therefore, he who's been forgiven little loves little. But he who's been forgiven much loves much. It's not always the case. It should be. We need to respond to God's love. We need to recognize that one time we were foolish and full of sin. But now, in Christ Jesus, He's changed our hearts. And the only thing that He wants from you is your heart. All that He wants from us is you. That's it. That's all He wants is you. Forever. Every part of you. A lot of people run around looking for love in the wrong places. But the only true love that you'll ever really find in this life, if you tap into it, is it's found in Jesus. Amen. God is love. And if we'll learn to walk in that love by responding to His love and worshiping Him, and giving our life to this, and turning the cell phone off, turning the Facebook off, forsaking. If you're not using Facebook for ministry, I'm telling you, you're just dabbling in a bunch of gossip. It's all sin. I'm warning you now. If you don't use it specifically only for ministry, get rid of it. I go on there and I don't even look. Sometimes prostitutes pop up there. And I just sit there and I confirm everyone that I possibly will let me as a friend. And all you can look on our church website, all that goes on there is ministry. It's all witnessing. It's the messages that I text out. And it's prayers for salvation and so on and so forth. There's no gossip on our page. It's for a specific reason. And the people that come on there are looking for hope. You are to be a light. You are to be a hope to them. If they see you getting involved in any of the joking that he says that neither should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving in Ephesians 5. For of this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a man as an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of such things God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. Before that he mentioned sexual immorality and impurity and lust, evil desires, greed. If you're involved in any of the things that the world is involved in and you try to witness to them, you've lost the pulpit that God had prepared for you. Because they know that you're like them. And the way that we change, the way that we become so much like Jesus that when you walk into a room, everybody knows that the only thing you represent is Him, is you give your whole life to Him. Amen. It's not just for us preachers. A majority of preachers don't even give their whole life to Him. And it's a shame. And you can see it in their messages and you can see their heart is poured out of their mouths. And if you have enough spiritual discernment, you can see it's just a bunch of worldliness coming out of their mouths. You don't see it here. We teach an eternal message. He told Timothy, he said, if anyone preaches false doctrines and does not agree to the sound instruction of our Lord Jesus and godly teaching, that's what we're supposed to be preaching. Jesus teaching, eternal heaven and hell, and godly teaching, teaching to godliness. He said he's conceited and understands nothing. He has an unhealthy interest and controversies and quarrels about words that result in envy, strife, malicious talk. evil suspicions and constant friction between men of corrupt mind who've been robbed of the truth and who think that godliness is a means to financial gain. But he says, but godliness with contentment is great gain. For he brought nothing into this world, and we can take nothing out of it. Therefore, if we have food and clothing, we'll be content with that. He says, those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap and to many foolish and harmful desires that plunge men into ruin and destruction. I am okay seeking and believing God for money. No, you should believe in God to get rid of the cussing and the swearing. Because it doesn't matter how hard you believe it, until you get the sin out of your life, you'll never experience this financial blessing unless you get it by unjust means. Which I've seen so many do. He says, but you, man of God. He says, look, Timothy. This is all coming from 1 Timothy 6. He says, look, you're a man of God. You are of God. The rest of these guys are running after the pleasures, the temporal things of this world. But he says, you, man of God, flee from all this and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. In other words, pursue the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5, 22 and 23. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. He says, fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called when you made your good confession in the presence of Christ Jesus. He says, in the sight of God who gives life to everything. And if Christ Jesus, who all testifying before Pontius Pilate made the good confession, I charge you to keep this command without spot or blame until the appearing of our Lord Jesus, which God will bring about in His own time. God, the blessed and only ruler, the King of kings, the Lord of lords, who alone is immortal, and who lives in unapproachable light, who no one has seen or can see, to Him be the honor and might forever. Amen. What is He saying? He just says, look, God, he explains God as this big and mighty God, and he says, look, remember who God is and focus on eternal things. Let it go. Amen. Don't focus on these temporal things. These guys are focused on something that will all get destroyed. Keep your focus on God. Keep your teaching focused on eternal things and on God. Why? Because we'll be created to worship that God. Amen. That eternal one. God, the blessed and only ruler, the King of kings, the Lord of lords, who alone is immortal. That means past, present, future, He's always been immortal. And lives in unapproachable light. Who no one has seen or fully comprehended or can see, to Him be the honor and might forever. Focus on that God. How? Private worship. Why? Because we have emotional problems. How do you know that? Because you smoke, you drink, you do drugs. You get caught up in your Facebook. You run to the TV. Anything to shut your mental torment down. I do that because I'm emotionally impaired. That's why you do that. You run to a magazine. You run to your cell phone. You run to talking to other people you shouldn't be talking with. You run to all sorts of things. And the reason is because your emotions are all jacked up from this world, from your past lifestyle. So what am I going to do, Pastor Dan? You're going to believe God's word that we don't have to get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, we can be filled with the Spirit by speaking psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making music in our hearts to the Lord. Colossians, he says it like this. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Speaking with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Singing with gratitude in your hearts to God. He says almost the same thing. So he's saying mix private worship with the Word. I gave you an example of what it's like the last two services, or last couple services here. Because this is something you should be doing privately. It's really not even optional if you want to stay sane as a Christian. Being a pastor with all the many different facets of ministry and everything that he's called me to do with the countless hours of prayer and fasting and the problems and the tribulations and the trials and all the impossible situations that I've had to fight up against, I just don't see how you could possibly stay sane without private worship. You see? But I stay sane because I stay in His presence. You just live there. I don't have a choice. I don't see how anybody could function properly as a Christian without the Holy Spirit. Yet some get by without the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Some people say, but then I got baptized in the Holy Spirit when I get born again. No. You received an impartation of the Holy Spirit when you got born again. You did not get baptized in the Holy Spirit. What happened is He saves us through the washing of rebirth and regeneration by the Holy Spirit, Titus 3:5, but you didn't receive the baptism. Can you prove that with Scripture? Yes. John chapter 20, immediately after Jesus rose from the dead, He appeared to them. A week later, He appeared to them, right? And when Jesus breathed on them, that word breathe, it's the same word pneuma. It means He imparted life. It's the same thing when God breathes into Adam the breath of life, and Adam became a living soul. Jesus breathed on him at that moment. He said, receive the Holy Spirit. He came in and regenerated their spirits. He was a baptism of the Holy Spirit. No, it wasn't, because He told them later. I'll prove that it was later. Think about this now. The end of Luke. It says He raised up His hands and blessed them, and He was taken up into heaven. But Luke also wrote the book of Acts. And if you combine Acts chapter 1, and you combine that with Luke 24, when He was taken up into heaven, listen very carefully. It says, on one occasion while He was eating with them, He gave them this command, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift My Father promised, which you've heard Me speak about. John baptized in water, but in a few days you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And then it says He was taken up from them.
Amen.
Which proves to you that the baptism of the Holy Spirit is not being born again when He breathed on them in John chapter 20. It's a different event that should happen simultaneously with your rebirth. It should. That's the proper way for it to be done. But most of the time it doesn't. I was baptized in the Holy Spirit 6 months after I was born again. Some people years after. So then it said He appeared to them over a period of 40 days. And then on the 50th day after His resurrection, the day of Pentecost, came, and they're all together in one accord. And it says, a sound came from heaven. A sound. It doesn't say a wind. It says a sound like a mighty rushing wind. They heard it. They may not have felt it in particular, although I have felt the wind of God. So much so that it filled the entire room that I was in. And the person that was in the room didn't even had no clue what was going on. And the curtains were, and my cheeks are going, and I thought I was going to die. There is winds of God. Some of you don't realize how powerful He is. You put the fear of God in you, you come up in His presence or get close to God even one time, you never want to sin again. He's a powerful God. So the wind, the sound like a mighty rushing wind came in, and there were tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. It says they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. That's the baptism that Jesus told them about in Acts chapter 1. That's the baptism of the Holy Spirit, where Jesus said, those who believe in My name, they will cast out devils and speak in new tongues. Amen? Amen? You could say it like this. When you're baptized, you will speak. Everyone say it with me. Say, when you're baptized,
when you're baptized,
you will speak.
You will speak.
Say it again. When you're baptized,
when you're baptized,
you will speak.
You will speak.
If you're not baptized in the Holy Spirit, you will not speak in tongues. If you are baptized in the Holy Spirit, you will speak in tongues. Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 8, we see that Philip, the evangelist, he preached about the it says he preached Christ, and then he left, and it says they all believed, and they were baptized. They were all saved. They were all disciples, so they sent Peter and John to them to pray for them to receive the Holy Spirit, because that, up to that time, the Holy Spirit had not yet come upon any of them. None of them. And it says that, it says it doesn't say they're baptized in the Holy Spirit, it doesn't say they speak in tongues there. I know it doesn't. But apparently Simon the sorcerer seen something that was so obvious, so blatantly obvious that something had happened to these people that he offered them money. Now if I come up and laid hands on you like this and said, baptism of the Holy Spirit, and somebody looked at that and nothing happened, do you think anybody's going to come up and say, oh, I'm going to give you money. Let me give you some money because I want to be able to do that. Any fool could have come up and lay hands and have nothing happen. You understand what I'm trying to tell you? Something happened. Something happened, and what happened is those people started speaking in tongues and most likely prophesying like in the other events in the book of Acts. And it shocked Simon so much, it says that he believed and he was baptized and he ran around astonished by all the signs and miracles. And he says, look, I'll give you money. Let me have this too. You see? He said, let your money perish with you. Acts chapter 10, Cornelius. God did a supernatural event because it was after years and years of telling him to go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation, to everyone, every nation. Instead, they were only going to the Jews. So he sent an angel to Cornelius, and an angel appears to him and says, look, go send for Simon, who's called Peter. He's staying at the home of Simon the Tanner, whose house is by the sea. And God gives Peter this vision of a sheet that's let down from heaven filled with four-footed animals of the earth and wild beasts and reptiles and birds of the air, and says, kill and eat, Peter. He says, surely not, Lord. I've never eaten anything impure or unclean. He says, don't call anything impure that God has made clean. Three times it happened to come back up. Cornelius sent a centurion and some soldiers, some devout attendants, to go meet up with Peter. The Spirit told Peter, go down, don't hesitate, go on down now. Go with these people I've sent them. He comes down, he says, I'm the one you're looking for, why have you come? He invites them into his home, which is unusual for a Jew to associate with Gentiles. They go over to Cornelius' house. And he preaches a short, not even a 2-minute sermon, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit comes upon all of them, and they all began to speak in tongues and prophesy. And the circumcised believers who were there with Peter said, can anybody keep these people from being baptized in water? They have received the same gift that God gave us. Which is again showing you that the baptism of the Holy Spirit is what happened over there in Acts chapter 2, verse 4. Acts chapter 2, verse 4. So that's for somebody. Acts chapter 19, there were 12 disciples. This is probably 20 years later. 20 years after the resurrection of Christ, somewhere around there. 15, 20 years later. And there were 12 men. Paul goes down the interior road to Ephesus. Apollos just, they just kind of crossed ways there, and Paul ends up where Apollos just left, and Paul comes through and he finds 12 men. It says they were disciples. Calls them disciples. He said, did you receive the Holy Spirit after you believed? They said, we didn't even hear there is a Holy Spirit. What is that? Paul says, what baptism did you receive? They said, John's baptism. He says, look, John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. He told them to believe in the one who comes after him, that is in Jesus. And they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Paul laid hands on them, it says, and they all spoke in tongues and prophesied. There are 12 men in all. So the baptism of the Holy Spirit is imparted through the laying on of hands. He told Timothy, in 2 Timothy chapter 1, he said, He said, stir up the gift of God that is in you through the laying on of my hands, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So the impartation of the Spirit is through the laying on of hands in Scripture. And say, I believe it this way. Well, you're not entitled to believe it your way. None of us are. We're only entitled to stick with God's revelation. The Bible is a revelation, and in order to get the information necessary to understand any subject, we need to take all the Scriptures on a given subject and put them together and see how they harmonize. Which means when we're talking about the Holy Spirit or the baptism of the Holy Spirit, we need to dig up all the Scriptures, not just the ones that we like, and put them all together to get the whole picture. Otherwise, you're missing pieces of the puzzle. It's the same thing with healing. You need to get all the Scriptures on healing. It's the same thing with faith. You need to get all the Scriptures on faith. It's the same thing with salvation. It says right here, God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish, but shall have eternal life. Yes, but it also says, as many as the Lord knows those who are His, and as many as that confess the name of the Lord must turn away from wickedness. John 3:16, 2 Timothy 2:19. He also says that no one who lives in Him keeps on sinning. No one who continues to sin has either seen Him or known Him. Yeah, but it says over here, in Him and through faith in Him, we can approach God of freedom and confidence right here in Ephesians 3:12. But it also says, no one who is born of God will continue to sin because God's seed remains in Him. He cannot go on sinning because He's been born of God. 1 John 3:6 through 9 and 10 even. You see? He says, he who does what is right is righteous, just as he is righteous. He who does what is sinful is of the devil. Well, I still do what is sinful. Well, you're of the devil. You need to stop that. He says, resist the devil. He says, submit to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. Wash your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. One foot in the world, one foot in God doesn't work. He's a jealous God, he said. God will permit a carnal believer to get away with that for a little while, but there comes a time in the walk that He expects us to grow and mature and turn from that mess. Amen. Just lift up your hands and worship Him with me. Hallelujah, Jesus. We worship You, Lord. Lanamasya namana no ne. Hallelujah, Lord. Lanamasya namana no. Hallelujah, Lord, ananamasya, nanana, yara, no, hallelujah, Jesus, ledididamasya, na, just close your eyes and worship Him. Hallelujah, ledibrachya, namasya, nanana, no. Hallelujah, Lord, ananamasya, nanana, lo, biara, siedede, lo, nonne. Hallelujah, Jesus, 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 Jesus. You are worthy, our King. Lanamasya no. Riamanamasya na 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 ma na ne 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 la ya na no la ya na 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 no la na na ne ne. Lene monomasya na 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 no. This is what the Spirit says. He told me to tell you again that there's great persecutions are on the forefront. They're coming. They will arise. They're right before your very eyes. They were coming. The persecutions will come. Say, Pastor Dan, that's a bad confession. Listen to what the Spirit's trying to get across to you. He says the persecutions are going to arise as the darkness falls. There will be some who will find that there's nothing for them in this life and will surrender their hearts and finally confess their evil deeds. They will finally begin to stop calling darkness light, to stop calling bitterness sweet, to stop calling evil good. And they will begin to recognize that darkness is not light, that bitterness is not sweet, and that evil is not good. And they will humble themselves and surrender every fiber of their being. And as a result, I will be able to pour through these vessels, says the Lord. And at the same time as the darkness gets darker, those who do these things that I speak of will rise up and the lights will become brighter. And they will begin to become holy and blameless children found in this wicked and adulterous generation who shine like stars in the universe as they hold on to the word of life, says the Lord. They will rise up and do exploits by my Spirit. They will rise up and do miracles, signs, and wonders in the last days. Yes, for as the persecutions arise, so will my bride arise, says the Lord. Yes, says the Spirit of grace, my people will rise up and they will begin to act upon my word. And he says this, could they not act now? That's the question. They can act now, right, Lord? He says, yet, so unfortunate, many choose not to act now, even though they could, because they are more moved by what they feel and more moved by what they see than by what I've spoken to them and what they should plainly believe, says the Lord. So rise up and choose this day to make today the day of salvation, today the day that you begin to act, so that you can be one of the strong ones, says the Lord. Not strong by might, not strong by power, but strong in my Spirit of grace, says the Lord. So put to death the old man and put on the new. Let go of that which hinders, and let my grace rise up strong in you, says the Lord. Speaking to yourselves with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, allow my presence to rise up strong and sedate your emotions. For it's your emotions and your carnal minds that need to be transformed that so hinder my working within you. So allow me to work within you, says the Lord. Everything you long for, your very heart's desire is found in me. I'm your exceedingly great reward, says the Lord. So let go and let me in. I'm standing, I'm knocking, I'm pleading. Let me in, says the Lord. You know, it's almost as if, this is what I like to think of it of, and it may or may not motivate you, but I like to think of anything with the flesh as just snake skin. Because it's anything, any remnants left from the old man is remnants of the devil. We don't want to have anything to do with the devil, do we? But a lot of people dance with the devil, and they don't think it's the devil they're dancing with. They think that they're dancing with Jesus. But when God looks down, he says, why is it dancing with him? It's my dance now. Can I take over? Says the Lord. Will you allow me to take over and dance with me? Will you let go of that which hinders and find grace? For it's those who surrender to me, who humble themselves, will find that I give grace to the humble, but I oppose the proud, says the Lord. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Find not your wisdom of this world, for I have chosen you out of this world, says the Lord. I have chosen you out of this world, for you are not of this world any more than I am of this world, says the Lord. So let go. Come out from among them and become clean, says the Lord. Be my sons and daughters and be free, says the Lord. Every evil spirit be gone. We command every evil spirit to leave. You cannot reconnect to the people. You cannot attach to our household. You cannot attach to this church. We command you cannot return to the people. We command you to leave this place and never return. Your bondage is broken. Your time is ended. This is not your temple. These people are not your temple. These people are God's temple. Everybody say, I am God's temple. God's Spirit lives in me. The devil has no permission to live in me. Do not tread on me. I am holy. I am pure. I am righteous in Christ. I am holy. I am pure. I am righteous in Christ. I live for Jesus.
I live for Jesus.
I don't live for myself.
I don't live for myself.
I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I don't have to sin. I don't want to sin. I don't want to drink. I don't want to smoke. I don't want to do drugs. I don't want to lie. I want Jesus. I want to obey God with my whole heart. Jesus is my Lord. I'm free to obey God. I'm free from sin. I'm free from bondage. I'm free from lack. I'm free from poverty. I'm free from sickness. I'm free from disease. I'm free to worship in spirit and in truth. I'm free to worship in the Spirit. I spend time with God. I spend time in prayer. I get more mature every day. I get more free every day. Jesus loves me. I don't have to fear hell because I obey God fully. I obey God fully. So I don't have to fear hell. I don't have to fear death because I'm born again. I don't have to fear the devil because I'm a child of the King. Jesus is in me. The Spirit of God is in me. And I am free. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Remaka Siddiqui Ilomapraka Siddiqui Lemondra Braprakasia. Lili Lomasekide, he says, it's for freedom that I've set you free, so be children of light and expose darkness. Go forth as my temple, go forth as my vessel, and allow me to expose darkness through you. But there's much darkness that needs to be exposed, says the Lord. Allow me to expose any darkness in you. And allow me to put it to death so it can be replaced with the armor of light. For the fruit of the light consists of all goodness, righteousness, and truth, says the Lord. Come boldly to my throne of grace. Don't seek me half-heartedly, but seek my face wholeheartedly, says the Lord. And you will find all the strength and the power to live the godly life that I've called you to is found in me. So live in my Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature, says the Lord. For the sinful nature desires that which is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit desires that which is contrary to the sinful nature. But if you're led by my Spirit, you're not under the law of sin and death. But you are under my law of Spirit and life. I smell it. Spirit of smoking. We command it to leave. Somebody just got set free from smoking. It's up to you to stay free, but he just showed me the spirit of smoking just left. If you want to be free, when you leave this place, I'm telling you, don't light up. Just say, think about it before you do it and say, I don't have to do this. I'm free. I'm telling you right now, you just got set free. Right now, if you haven't... You can keep this online. Anybody that's got a problem with smoking, there's a special anointing. You can be free if you want to stay free. A lot of times people do that out of habit, but now you can look and say, well, I'm telling you right now, you won't even feel like doing it anymore if you'll just stop and think before you do it.
Hallelujah.
Special anointing here. Just receive it. Hallelujah, Jesus. We thank you that we're free, Lord. We thank you that we're free, Lord. We praise you that we're free, Lord. We glorify you and exalt you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Stay excited about the Lord. I hope you got something out of tonight. Just remember, private worship is key. We don't have to do the things of the world anymore. We can tap into God's presence. Private worship, take it home with you. Last couple services, I've given you an example. Sing in the Spirit. Paul said, what is it then? I'll pray in the Spirit. I'll pray with my understanding also. I'll sing with the Spirit. I'll sing in the Spirit. I'll sing with my understanding also. 1 Corinthians 14:15. Singing in the Spirit. Amen. I can tell you from someone who's tried everything under the sun to tap into God that I don't think that there's any more powerful thing when you're having problems or trials to overcome it than singing in the Spirit. Sing loud. I can remember there's been times where I felt so bound up and my emotions are so oppressed because the attacks of the enemy, because all the people we break the power of the devil off of in the past. I can remember driving back and forth from Oklahoma and just singing in the Spirit. And all of a sudden it just, I stop and I go, wow, what is this that's filling my car? I mean, it feels like heaven just entered my car. And then I would look and I'd analyze it and say, it's because I was singing so loud in the Spirit. All of a sudden angels come to minister to you like they came to minister to Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Amen. When Paul and Silas were locked in prison, it says, instead of weeping and wailing about it, says they were praying and singing hymns to God. And all the prisoners heard them. And all of a sudden, the foundations of the prison were shaken and all the chains came loose and all the doors swung open and they all got set free. I believe they were singing in the Spirit. Everybody got free. When you get free, everybody around you can start to get free. Hallelujah. Take that home with you. Be blessed. We love you guys.